Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Jeez!
Holy crap! That was heavy.
The Hat Chat podcast.
Yeah,
that was good. Episode 56, I believe, Ross.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome. I'm Ross Hornby.
Nice. I'm Chris Trott.
And I'm Alex Smith. And that fingal was from Josh Morley Smith. Thank you very much for that headbanger.
Thank you.
Not quite a Smith, a Morley Smith.
Exactly. Double barreled. Nice.
Thank you for that. There is a longer version of that at the end, so enjoy that. With a lot of our samples at the start, which I've removed for the intro, so enjoy. Hey, we've got some big announcements coming in, hot off the press.
Oh, wow.
We thought we'd use the really good number, 56 of our episodes so far, to do a big shift in our format. It's not that big.
No.
It's just kind of categorizing and also cleaning up a podcast, so it's not just a stream of random consciousness. It's streams of random consciousness in three sections now. So, hey, who wants to talk about it first?
I'll talk about it. So basically, we're just going to organize ourselves a bit better so we have, like, subjects. Our first thing is we want to kind of talk about hypotheticals, which was quite a good subject last week where we kind of came up with an idea, and that gave us a lot to bounce off of each other on. And what we might introduce with that as well is stuff for our Patreon users who help support us via Patreon.
What?
Yeah, that's right. There is a link. I'm sure you've got a little cue for it. But basically, we will give you some suggestions for what topics we can talk about in future podcasts and stuff. And that'll be helpful for us, but also interactive, so you guys can have your say on kind of what you want to hear from us, which is great. It's what we want. It's what we have for the Fingals, which has already been a great community interaction. So, yes, that's that part.
Point.
Any other bits?
Yeah. Patreon, we respect you guys. You guys have keeping us going, so we kind of want to provide some extra goodies for you, some more interaction, like choosing the hypotheticals. But also, we are moving. We finally did it, guys. We're finally going to get ads into our podcast. I know you're all just jumping out of your seats and ready to clap, but that is ultimately what's going to be happening going forward. So they will be automatically put in. They won't be done by us unless we get some really good, high-paying ones, and then they're asking us to put them in which case I will bend over backwards and sell you some Viagra. Look forward to that. Patreon, if you guys don't like that, we're going to be sending you an ad-free version of our podcast. Same goes for our YouTube channel. The Hat Chat podcast will not have any of these ads in. It's purely for the podcast distribution places.
It might have YouTube ads, I'm guessing, or are we uploading them without YouTube ads?
Yeah, YouTube will do its own thing.
Yeah, three or four, depending on where you are.
But they won't be the podcast's auto-injected ads. Mm-hmm. So that making you aware of that, that won't be for this specific episode. Mm-hmm. We'll let you know when they start happening.
You might just notice them as well. I think also, like, it's worth mentioning that these adverts, these auto-inserted ads, are curated to remove harmful stuff, but equally we're not entirely sure what they're going to be yet. So cut us some slack if there's some weird ads in there for a little while. Like, we'll try and work out what's going to be advertised and things like that. But I mean,
moving.
Did you mention we're trying to go weekly? You did, I think. Did you say that?
No. That's another big one. We want to do more. So we're going to go weekly now and tidy up our format so that we've got something to say every week. Mm-hmm. The hour-long show, while it is every couple of weeks, I think we've got plenty to say then. I think if we can tighten it up and make it like a really good 40-minute episode every week, you're getting a lot more, essentially. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that, for you guys at Patreon, we hope you find that that is good. For you guys, essentially getting 20 minutes more, right? Every couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Is that how the math works?
Well, I mean, I guess the true upside of it is that it creates a better podcast each time, I think. I mean, not saying that any of the more ones consistent. We do are particularly bad, but yeah, exactly. Something you can expect a bit more rather than like, am I going to hate this because they're talking about their left politics? Or, you know, am I going to find this funny? Am I going to find this gross? All these things. Well, you'll find that out, but in a 40-minute concentrated segment. So perhaps you don't have to wait too long for that goodness, I suppose. Would be my
indeed.
My knowledge. Anyway, that's an intro to hopefully what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and we'll monitor the ad thing because, like we said, I mean, we said this behind the scenes, that, if the ads are a bit too intrusive or not really worth the, you know, having them in there, we'll monitor the situation and see if it's worthwhile, basically. So it may not be a permanent feature. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But look out for them.
Let us know with the email, hatchat@hat-films.com. We'll skim it. Skim it at best.
Yeah.
Skim,
but their feedback is helpful. So, yeah.
Yeah. So please send that in. Thank you. And, right. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah.
Nice. We don't need that. But let's get into hypotheticals, because this is something we really enjoyed last week. We had a hypothetical question that I saw on Reddit, and now I found a billion hypotheticals and some I've come up with in the shower. Mm-hmm. So Alex Smith has curated some of them this week, and you guys on Patreon will get to choose next week's one. So look on your Patreon for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Alex Smith, take it away.
Well, I mean, the first hypothetical we've got here is one that Chris Trott came up with in the shower. So, I mean, you can imagine him naked and thinking, if you like, if you could project yourself directly into the minds of every living person for 10 seconds and they'd completely understand what you're saying, they'd understand, they wouldn't question it, they wouldn't go, God, why is this weird naked blonde man in my head right now? They wouldn't say that. It would just be, hello, yes, I'm here to receive information. If you could project yourself directly into the minds of every living person for 10 seconds, what would you say?
Oh, my God. That's...
You've got 10 seconds. And they will understand your intent, your emotion, your language. That will all be translated like as one-to-one as it can possibly be. So there's no cultural changes or anything like that. They'd misconstrue your message. Your 10 seconds is your 10 seconds, and you get that to the entire world.
That's so, and that's exactly the same time, right? So someone could be driving around, someone could be, you know, mid...
It's like a PA broadcast. Yeah, it's like, you know, Tannoy, global.
Hello, I'm in your head. It's like, man, that is... what would you say? That's a really important... It's like trying to get all the eyes on, like, a specific program at one time. Mm-hmm. Like, you have 10 seconds. That's crucial. And obviously, but the thing is, like, are we expecting them to understand? You say here that they understand what you're saying, but like obviously, if you're you know going in there with a specific extreme left opinion or whatever right wing opinion, does that get absorbed or do they just hear it and go, oh, well, I don't care about that, or do they just question why the hell it happened?
I think we'd have to believe that they have free will. They can decide to take that information however they want, because otherwise you're just mind controlling the entire population in 10 seconds. Yeah, yeah.
I've had some good suggestions already, like subscribe to Hat Films and just spend 10 seconds.
So there's another one that says, let the purge begin, Trot. Is that something?
I'll be honest.
That's a good one.
Let the purge begin. Well, we could my God, Everest just starts going.
We could say something like, climate change is real. The world is ending in 2025 unless everybody stops mining oil now.
Right.
It's urgent. And then something like that, you know, where it's just like, it's all going to go.
So they're not necessarily hearing your voice. It's basically your
intention.
I don't know, yes. It's so...
Your intention.
Complex. See, this is, to just...
You know what this makes me think of almost instantly when Trot was telling me about it? This is how biblically... angels were meant to interact with people, right? This is how. Right. So there's this thing at the beginning of like every not recorded instance, because obviously, you know, it's up for debate. But like when a person meets an angel in the Bible, and I'm sure in like lots of other sort of religious texts as well, they usually start it with "Do not fear me," you know, like "I am an angel of the Lord," like, you know, like things like that. Like they instantly sort of go like, "Don't worry, it's fine. Now listen to what I have to say." I guess would be the place you'd start.
Only because they look batshit insane.
You, what with the
like unfathomably crazy looking? All the little that's different, why they say, like, "Fear me not."
Fractal pieces to them. Is that what you're
20
saying?
20 eyes and 6 wings in a circle.
If you want to, Trot, it's talking...
Fear me not, mortal!
What is that thing, Trot, by the way? People need to probably Google that to understand what you're talking about.
That's from, it's like an addendum Bible. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called, where they explain... Someone explains their sighting of or interaction with an angel, and there is it's a lot of detail of, like, there's two wheels intersecting with eyes on them, and there's, like, wings around them.
And the whole lot is viewed through a kaleidoscope-like scene, right?
Basically. Anyway, yeah, right. It's just so unfathomable.
To get back to your message, I mean, this is a really hard one, isn't it? I mean, this is such a responsibility, almost.
Well, this is it, because you can go selfish with it quite easily. Like, you can really go selfish with it.
Chris Trott needs all of your money.
Empty your bank account. Money. Send it to this account number. Sort code. No,
protect him at all costs.
Protect. He is now your lord and deity. Chris Trott. I don't know. Because, you could use it as an advertising space. But then, like you say, there's probably a wider thing that you could promote, you know, in terms of, awareness for climate change, taking it a bit more seriously, whereas you're getting in someone's head a bit more. Which, to be fair, is probably the better option, I think, because, you know, advertising or whatever, something else is quite vapid and quite, you know, vacuous. It's not important, really, is it? But I guess, it's down to the individual, isn't it? Like, you know, somebody might go, well, give me $1 million or something, or what, I don't know.
Well, let's change it then, because you're right. I think everybody, like, would try and communicate whatever causes were dear to their heart, right?
Yeah.
So instead, let's change this question to, how do you freak the most people out in 10 seconds?
Okay.
You know, or how do you, what's the funniest thing you can say to every living person for 10 seconds?
Oh my God, 10 seconds of just,
I mean let the purge begin's a nice shout.
Let the purge begin is a great one.
Because, I mean, then you could just look outside your window and see what happens. And see if anything really kicks off, or everyone's just kind of scratching their heads going, did you hear that too? Was it just me? Because I feel like most people would either take that in and then be like, no, that was just me, that's weird. But then there'll be a few who will take it seriously and start, you know, causing mayhem and, you know.
So what if I said, like, mirrors aren't reflections, they're just portals to other worlds? Yeah, that would mess
you
up a bit.
Don't touch the mirror.
Yeah, go into a mirror section of a store or something.
They're all just versions of you trapped inside the glass.
Come out.
What about you have been chosen?
Oh.
Everyone else thinks they have, but it's really you.
Yeah, because that would turn everyone into like a secret megalomaniac, which I'm guessing.
Yeah.
To be honest, most of us are because
and not trust anyone.
But that would really push individualism. In a big way.
Oh, God. If it can be pushed anymore. But the thing is about, I think everyone is really a megalomaniac of their own life, aren't they? Because, you know, you can never truly experience anything outside of your own experience of the world. So in a way, you're like, I am. I'm pretty important. I'm the main player in my story, main character.
It's believing that everyone else is NPCs. That would be an interesting
one. That's the dangerous
one. If you really
one.
Get the Truman Show into their head.
Yeah.
What would that do?
You could say, this is the director speaking. Everyone around you is an actor.
Yeah.
It's time to reveal the truth.
Oh my God, the reveal.
You're the only real person.
That would be amazing. Oh my god.
If you don't keep both of your feet on the floor for the next year, you'll leave Earth. You'll just float away. Can you imagine how paranoid people would be? It's like, you know, like
staying inside.
Shuffle your feet.
Don't leave
don't
the ground.
Jump.
Don't jump. Don't run.
God.
Some people are going to be mid skydive when they hear this message.
They'll be mid a lot of things, yeah. Bungee jumps.
Or like halfway through. Ollieing on a skateboard. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
God, well, yeah. Like, I mean, you'd be driving or doing something extremely important, like, you know, surgery, and you get that message come through. You're like, you are your own main character in the story.
Some people are going to die just from the distraction.
Yeah, drop what you're doing.
Just
and
as a surgeon, you're just like, nah, just chuck a load of bolts in the back of somebody's brain or something.
Yeah, but right, you start seeing loads of people moving, so it would become that, like a herd of people. They're all rushing outside. What for? Who knows?
Yeah.
But that would freak you out. That would cause stampedes. People start looting. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing big things from this, crazy stuff. Let's just not abuse that power.
What about just a simple run? Run to the north.
The north.
Don't stop.
It's the only safe way. North. A comet is coming.
Go north.
Everyone just goes north.
Oh my god.
Everyone just ends.
We're not
up
supposed to
north.
Use this system, but we've got access for 10 seconds. Hurry, go north. Hurry, this comet is coming. Oh, I can't see it. Just run. Just go. Which way's north? I'm not sure. Yeah. Just go that way. Traffic jams.
This app's not working.
I like the idea of whatever you say, cut it off mid-sentence. Is a suggestion in chat.
Oh,
you
that's
just panic people. Important. I only have 10 seconds to transmit this really important message. You and everyone you know need to listen carefully. One moment and we could all be gone. Anyway, here's what we need to do. You... What? What was that?
Now listen carefully.
Did you hear that?
This is the important part. You've...
The password is...
Yeah. Okay, so I've got another one for you after. So we've explored that one.
Okay. Right.
Right. So this is
double
a question
dose.
About. I mean, similar to what we just said then. Like, if a person told you to do something, but here's a question: you have no possessions. If you had to get 10 grand by tomorrow, and no bank, friend, or family would give you a loan, how would you do it? How would you get 10 G's?
To earn it, I mean.
No, you have to get 10 grand. It? So this is like.
Do we need it as a physical cash
it's cash
in
a bag.
Account?
This cash is like the criminal overlord situation, all right? So your whole family's been held hostage or whatever, and there's like a 10 grand bounty that you need to get, and you can't get. You know, nobody else can lend it to you. You need to get it from somewhere else. There's no legitimate means.
And you,
I mean, I guess
sell your
postal scam
or?
Would get me. That'd be a good way to start
you
doing
it. You can't sell. You have no possessions.
You have no possessions.
That was just the first
no possessions.
Right. You don't have anything to sell.
You have your body. So you could sell your body
true.
Or... I don't
you
know
think
how,
you
10 grand.
Ross, you
you're working
10
hard for 10 Gs. This is it. Yeah, like with no access or no possessions, you're going to be a questionable client. I don't know
I
how
like
you
how
go
the
about
immediate,
that.
Your immediate decision was to become a prostitute.
Sell your body. Yeah.
I guess I'm a prostitute.
Wait, you don't think this body is worth 10 grand? Come on.
I mean,
give me some time. I think maybe.
Yeah, it's not inconceivable that you could earn
£5 a BJ.
That's a lot of BJs.
That's a lot of BJs. But
that's a
if
lot.
You work hard, it's, I've always told working hard gets you the results. You know, that's time
how,
well spent. Lockjaw.
How long do you think each BJ session would last?
I don't know.
It can't be quick. Let's say minimum of five minutes, 2 to 5 minutes.
You've already come across someone who's willing to pay £5 for it from a stranger. So there's, you know, a boundary there that you're crossing. And then obviously, then it's a case of sensitivity and time. So I don't know, but
that's the thing. You should offer a no cashback 5 minute cut off because
no cashback 5 minutes.
No finish
£5 5 minutes.
No finish. No
pound
no returns policy.
But no, I don't know, actually. I mean, theft would seem to be the obvious choice.
Yeah.
Really.
I think it is.
If you were in dire straits. But, I don't know where I would access that, or I don't have
you
any real means.
We've got
to
a warehouse. I never, ever, ever would I suggest ever doing this. And please, God, I hope I don't get arrested or something. Who knows in this Priti Patel authoritative state what happens to me. But we have a warehouse full of replica weapons, Ross. We could easily hold up. Shops
we
and
don't.
Banks.
We have no possessions.
You have no possessions.
Oh God!
So
we've
got our fists
right, okay.
and the clothes on our back.
Oh,
I guess that's
still
probably
easy.
Enough.
Yeah, you got the clothes on your back. Yeah, you got like a £50 set of of clothes. Let's say. I think you'd have to fake a weapon and you have to unfortunately force people
Toys R Us
to do it.
And you can't. You say you can't get a loan from someone you know. So maybe
family,
the thing
and
is,
friends out the window.
And are we in our current state, as in like you know, do we look like we do now, or are we like lived rough for a while? Like, I'm trying to figure out like the state, because I mean, I might be able to sway a businessman. You know, I might be able to talk the talk.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
I've done my hair. I've got a shirt on. Maybe that might persuade them to help me for a day.
What would you tell them to give you 10 G's?
I tell them my life's in danger. No, I mean, I don't know. Because again, if there's zero possessions, I have nothing to offer them. I have nothing to offer. Other
can
than
you imagine
saying,
turning up the next
I need
day,
an advance.
Ross.
Can I work for you for... I'll work for a couple of years for 10 G's. I need the money right now.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe?
If you signed a contract... I mean, I guess that's almost a loan, though.
It is a business deal. But not from a friend.
Imagine
from a
turning up, Ross, the next day to rescue your family after you've done your initial suggestion, your first go-to, thousands
well, I mean,
of blowjobs.
the talking would be... I mean, I'd have lockjaw, probably.
Act on you when they say, Ross, thank you. Oh, my God, Ross, thank you so much. You got those 10 Gs. You freed us. And then they ask you what you did.
Like, it hurts. Don't ask. I can't really talk. I've been sucking other strangers off who were willing to pay $5 each. But I did it for you. I did it for you. Come on, be grateful.
$10,000.
Look at all this money. How? Me? Really? I know.
If you made $10,000 the
day, you should have seen them guys.
Would you consider going back to it the next day, do you think, even if there wasn't sort of a pressing issue? You're like,
I think it might be quite a traumatizing experience. So I don't know.
Yeah, but the damage is already done.
But it depends.
Though,
I need to afford therapy. So I guess maybe.
It's expensive.
Double down.
Another round then.
Get the other 10 Gs and then, might be able to get an hour or two of therapy with that.
Start sorting yourself out.
You could turn up to some porn shoots pretending to be Mick Blue.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But they don't get paid much, the male performers.
But exactly. But, I mean, you'd have to do some crazy stuff, you know, like pissing, like shower stuff. Like, you know, like, no, I don't know. You have to really degrade yourself. Maybe I could be the one man, one jar guy. Did he get money for that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Trip to the hospital is all he got.
Trip to the hospital.
Isn't it weird how there's like a link between...
No one knows who he is.
Degradation and money generation. If somebody said, degrade yourself and you will get money, you'd be like, what? How is that relationship even? Like, because some relationships between like effort and money can kind of make sense. You're like, if I go out into that field and grow and pick 100 potatoes and then take them down to a market and give those to people and they'll eat it, that like the whole value chain there kind of makes sense. But if you said to a person, you can degrade yourself, I guess it's not the degradation that makes the money, it's the acts that cause the degradation that make the money. Yeah, I suppose.
Exactly. But I don't know. I mean, you might be able to benefit from just saying, slap me in the face for a fiver. And there might be enough people who are just like, that'd be fun. Like, this guy's all right, up for it. And she's just like,
I mean, I think...
Big solid one there.
That is basically what a lot of YouTubers do now, isn't it, really? Yeah. They'll just, like, do, like...
YouTube prankers.
I got punched in the face. We offered people 50 quid to get punched in the face and stuff like that, you know? That is a bit of a textbook one. But Well, Ross, I think you've given us all the food for thought we need on that one.
Thanks. Yeah, that's disgusting, isn't it, really? But I think I'd struggle to make 10K. I think after the first time, you'd struggle to want to continue.
I just want to say a final thing here, Ross.
Okay.
You don't need to do the same thing for 10 Gs. No. You could have like taken 5G, put some of that into like gambling or something like that. Mm-hmm. Go to the, you know, the roulette table or whatever, and then get back to the blowjobs as a fallback.
Sometimes you get into
like,
a flow
if you win,
things,
you can stop at any time.
So I've got five. I'll put some red, and then you lose it all, and you're like, oh.
That's a terrible idea, by the way. That's an awful idea. Ross has just spent half a day blowjobbing his way around Bristol, and he's got 5 Gs, and you're like, oh my God, Ross, 5 Gs. He then takes that to a casino, puts it all on red, and loses it immediately.
You don't have to put it all.
It says a lot about the
just
people
like
in Bristol.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The risk is the same. You are just risking for 20 for anal. That's not bad. Right, okay, so should we go for an ad break now? Is that what we're going to do?
So this is a warm-up for you guys. It's not going to be on this episode, but this is like halfway through. Yeah. And we put an ad in this point, but we're letting you know, giving you warning. But of course, if you're a patron supporter, it's just going to go straight to the next section. Mm. So here we go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role and movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star News.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Nice, and we're back.
Wow, there it is. That was a nice little audio gap there. Brilliant. Thanks, Trot.
You're welcome. There's the mark. Anyway, what should we move on to next?
Well, there's a plenty of funny news here, I see.
I do have a lot of funny news.
Any of the particular gems you want to...
I'll throw some headlines your way just to get a gauge. So there's petition to kill a billionaire.
Sure. Okay.
There's shark pooped too hard. There is. Jeff Bezos involved in that one.
Mr. Bezos.
Shark pooped too hard. Dog fucker in court. high anxiety goes up in flames.
That's a water park, is it?
That is a water park. That's from a water park.
These are Ross Hornby titles, aren't they?
Yeah. Some of them, are they funny? Really
the
depends,
shark poops too hard. I'm definitely interested in.
Okay, let's see where this takes us. Because again, these are the types of things where I read the headline, have a little skim, and it's like, yeah, that's good. But I'll go into it. Aquarium shark receives underwater surgery for prolapsed rectum.
Oh,
so that's a prolapsed rectum on a shark. A nurse shark in an aquarium in Nanning, South China's. I don't know how to say that properly, and I'm not going to bother.
Guangzhou Autonomous Region.
Oh.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice attempt.
Thank you. And then they just said it defecated hard, causing it had an obstructed bowel movement, and it just really came out. And they said it was a danger if the rectum had not been put back in. And they had to set up a dude, came down and started putting it back in, basically. The shark's experience received thousands of comments from curious netizens on social media. Isn't it ironic that a shark being operated on is called a nurse shark? Lol. So there you go. That's a little little bit of light.
Did they put lol in the article?
No, I added a little lol in there. That was just from me.
Yeah, nice. Bit of flavour.
Yeah. So that's the very vapid story. Just it pooped too hard and needed to extract him to pop back in. Simple.
The photo is terrible as well, by the way. That photo that they provided.
I mean, it's under reference. Photography.
I'm like,
that is what's going
what is
on
that?
There.
You could put anything. You could just put a picture of a nurse shark, and it would probably be a better option. I think
you can see some fingers in there. Is that a finger? I think it's a hand.
There's stitching.
Describing this in an audio way, it's basically kind of just you can see the under part of the shark and
some fingers and a peachy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But that's there you go. Sharks can poop really hard, and they may need operations on their butt. It happens, you know.
You guys ever had to do any sort of management with your dogs yet?
Because sometimes you can
expressing
their anal
maybe
glands.
We shouldn't talk
I don't
about
think
this.
I have.
I mean, maybe we shouldn't talk about this. It's kind of disgusting.
You don't want to talk about this too gross.
No.
Too gross. We do
so
have.
I mean,
we've talked.
Detail.
I mean, I
you
brought
say
it up very hesitantly. I was like, maybe I don't want to.
Yeah.
Well, recently we've discussed Nan's Milk, which is obviously a popular brand of flavored milk. Would you
is
call it
flavored
milk?
What flavor is it? Like biscuit.
Nan flavor. It's like rich tea.
Nan flavor.
It's
tastes like word as original.
Tastes like mothballs and VO.
No, Nan's Milk was a running joke. If you haven't been following our Rocket League episodes, or was it Golf with Your Friends? It kind of carried over three episodes.
How did it even come about? Now
I
no
don't
idea.
Remember. These just this like
GTA
we have
playlist,
a stream
think,
of consciousness. We talk shit all the time, and then we came up with Nan's
stuff
Milk,
comes
which
out.
Was
it's like monkeys and typewriters. Just comes up with stuff.
Yeah, you give us enough time, and we'll come up with everything. But specifically yeah. gross, weird stuff like Nan's milk, which was a reference to grandmother's breast milk. Anyway,
so that's a giant water thing. Slide has gone up in flames in the Mountain Creek Water Park in New Jersey.
This was
June 16th, the giant water slide at a New Jersey water park lived up to its name Tuesday when it went up in flames. And no, the name of the water slide was not "This is going to go up in flames." It was called High Anxiety. It caught fire at Mountain Creek Water Park in Vernon. A spokesperson for the water park.
That's a lot of fire.
That is a lot of fire. We're looking at
the top of a tube just billowing smoke and flames.
Whoa. I mean,
you know, like the one in Always Sunny.
That is so going up. I mean, I guess it's because it's like one of those classic tubes that are probably made from some form of like polymer. So maybe that's
all wood.
It's fiberglass.
Wood, and then the tube itself is fiberglass. Actually, you're right. I didn't know fiberglass burned that well.
Well, it's
maybe it doesn't. Maybe it was the wooden frame.
Burning great. Use that for your campfires.
Fiberglass.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a weird smell. Keep
Got
ingesting
all my
it.
Marshmallows are done.
Breathe it in. They opened the park that week, though. I think they continued to just go ahead, even though that fire.
Brilliant.
Happened. So fair
Still
enough.
Welcome back, guests, but that water slide, which features a 45-degree drop, is now out of commission.
Yeah.
That's surprising, isn't it?
Sorry. That makes sense. The whole top was on fire. How did it even get on fire? Did it say on the article?
It doesn't say in the article, no.
Just says, bam, huge fire. Weird. There was a story about the UFO stuff. I don't suppose you went into this at all, or you read about this, Smith, because...
I have,
It was quite disheartening.
Yes. Well, I mean, it was...
Oh, the FBI.
It was not the,
the CIA.
Not the FBI. Or
CIA, sorry.
Yeah, it's probably the Pentagon. I doubt it's the CIA.
Yeah,
either.
It was Pentagon.
I was saying this before when we were talking about this. I'm like, take this with a pinch of salt because it's probably not going to be anything particularly interesting because the government still has, you know, all governments have national security concerns that... Why would they release information if they don't have to, ultimately? Because any bit of information you put out there, your adversaries are probably going to consider as well. And through omissions, you can also, you know, show weakness. But anyway, this is essentially saying that the US government, or the report on recent UFO sightings that have become more and more prevalent and more mainstream over the last few years, essentially saying there are things in the air that we don't understand. There are things moving around that we've sighted from numerous... sightings from, you know, people who know what they're looking at a lot of the time, pilots and things like that, who are trained how to identify things in the air. They're saying, there's stuff that we don't understand, which, you know, is essentially where I was at with it. And I think where a lot of people who've looked into this sort of stuff, and I say looked into, I'm not saying that I'm some sort of scientist or anything like that. You know, you wade through a lot of crazy.
You've been called upon as a expert consultant.
Preeminent expert consultant is actually the title I use. Yeah.
He's a precog.
I'm a precog. My parents did a lot of drugs. But essentially, they're saying, there is stuff that we don't understand up there. And we have some footage of it and the footage is real and we still don't understand what it is. They're saying it's not US government tech. But I mean, of course, you would say that. There's no way to prove or disprove that.
It's not.
I don't think it is. Personally, I don't think it is. I think there's a very, very, very slim chance that sort of China and Russia could have come up with some form of technology that's sort of light years ahead of everybody else. It's possible. I mean, I think there's probably technologies as well beyond just things flying around in the sky that we don't understand that, you know, are kept
What if
secret,
it's just like
example.
A homemade project? Someone's just I'm working on some crazy tic-tac technology.
Some genius in their shed.
Just put some little thrusters on the side of a
100%
little dome thing that goes underwater. Mm-hmm. Now can go underwater.
That'd be amazing. Basically the Rick and Morty situation is what you're describing.
Or a Bruce Wayne-esque character who's just creating crazy devices. But they said, there was 144 sightings from 2004 to 2021. And they're saying the government wants to collect better data, but they can't. They have no idea where the current ones are from or what they are. That's what they're saying anyway. And like you say, you know, they could say that in the first place and just be like, well, we don't know. Even if they did know. So,
Somebody's mentioned it's a bit disappointing, Elon Musk in the chat saying Elon Musk going for a joyride. I think this is a really interesting idea because there are individuals now in our world, in our globe, people like Jeff Bezos, people like Elon Musk, who are wealthier than most nations nations in the world, which is kind of crazy to say. And these people have none of the red tape, none of the sort of structural limitations or checks and balances on them. And that's, you know, that's the case. And it once was, yeah, of course they couldn't develop rockets on their own as a private enterprise. That needs whole countries to come together because, you know, the 1960s space race in America and stuff, like huge amounts of the country's GDP in the US, and I'm sure in the other nations like Russia, where they were also doing it, was purely pumped into space development, right? That's why there was this huge advancement in technology during the from the 60s on up until where it famously slowed down a lot when we stopped sending missions up, manned missions up and things like that. But like, that was an example of the amount of money necessary to fund such a development of a rocket program. It was a massive amount of the US's production capability. Nowadays, with the way that wealth and money and all these things work, that system and that checker or slash balance is kind of been removed. And so people like Bezos, people like Elon, and all these other billionaires that you never even hear about, as Ross has mentioned in the past, there are lots and lots of very, very, very wealthy people out
Barons.
There.
They literally pay to be hidden.
To stay out of the spotlight, exactly. So, you know, those people could have gone and said, right, no, I'm going to set up a commission. I'm going to hire lots and lots of very qualified people. I'm going to buy lots and lots of technology that can allow me to scan or see or monitor or all these things. It could all be possible. And it's really exciting. I mean, I'd love answers. I think everyone would. I think we'd all like to know what the actual
it's kind of annoying, though,
reality is.
Because it's like Jeff Bezos, mate. Mm. You spent a bit of your money that you spent on Blue Origin just fixing everything, just giving everyone, you know, ending famine. That'd be nice. He could do it with his assets.
Well, that's just
not saying it's his responsibility, but
you'd at least hope that he felt
it's
that
the
way.
Big billionaires like, I want big rockets. I want to go to space, which is exciting for me because I like space and, you know, the frontiers of human discovery and exploration is important for us to have a goal and a purpose in life. But it is the billionaires ultimately wanting their big toys, really.
Yeah.
And I want to be the first in space.
Is it? Is Elon planning to go into space as well? Because obviously you've got Richard Branson now saying he's going...
Probably.
I don't know if he's going into space or going into like the stratosphere or something.
He's going on Crew Dragon at some point, I think.
Right, and then you've got Jeffrey doing it.
It's not in his business interest to not do it at SpaceX, right? Why would he go on the Virgin one or the Jeff Bezos one when he's probably waiting for the SpaceX
one? Are they in a race?
Also, you've got to remember that, like... These people like Elon and Jeff, they're risking essentially godhood. Like with these astronauts, these incredibly brave people go up and do these things. They are taking their lives in their hands. It's super, super. I mean, I know the statistically, it's very unlikely to die in space. That's actually an interesting stat. Only 3 people have ever died in space, apparently, I heard the other day.
Also, but highly, highly trained.
Exactly. Mm. But, like, you know, even, you know, you look at the Columbia disaster and things like that, you could be sat on the platform. Yeah. One thing goes wrong and the whole bloody thing incinerates itself, you know? Like, and they're walking away, like, whilst astronauts probably motivate themselves to go, like, this is the peak of human endeavor, this is the peak of exploration, like, there are a lot of reasons to risk their lives. I think if you're a billionaire at their status, they have even more to lose because ultimately they're walking away from the ultimate life on Earth for something else, which I understand, but I can also see there's a different sort of value proposition going on there.
So is it just an ego thing, do you reckon, as well, driving it? An ego and a kind of like, I was first, or I'm the first big balls billionaire
to
get up
there. You'd
go down
in history,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you would go down in history, exactly. Think about
the,
you know, all
they're all
going to
go down
endeavor.
In history for who they are anyway. Mm-hmm. Being a billionaire in itself
more,
or a famous
like,
billionaire is enough,
they're
isn't
not
it?
Just stopping, are they? No. They're not just saying, I've got enough. They're always like, they are the types of people that want more and want to do more things all the time. So I was like, I'll set up a Blue Origin.
I do always... Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Now, I was just going to kind of pointlessly refute something, but like, I feel like people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos weren't destined to be successful simply because of their qualities. There were certain elements of things that happened to them, and then certain qualities that
fell into
things,
place,
affected, which allowed them to become these successful people. I think there are probably millions of people out there that could be as successful and as forward-thinking as people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, but they don't
just have bad luck.
Exactly, those particular elements of their life, you know, their dad wasn't an emerald miner or something along those lines, you know, like...
Well, it's like the quotes from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was like, I don't like to be called a self-made man because that's just megalomania. Mm. Ultimately, this is not word for word. It's everybody around me helped me to get where I am today. And either you walk on people to get where you are, to be a billionaire, or you acknowledge and use other people to get where you are. You know, smarter people, ultimately.
Yep.
So they probably were surrounded by the right people and had the funding to do what they did to get where they are, and had a lot of luck on their side as well. So don't believe that all these people are saying you can do it too if you just put hard work and perseverance in. It's like, it's not.
Well, don't let it demotivate you. And also don't deify the people that are in those positions.
Yeah. I think you shouldn't be like, I'm going to be a billionaire, because ultimately that's you want to just be like, I'm going to be comfortable. I think that's what you want to be aiming for. Like, the billionaire thing is just, you know, trust fund after
especially
investors and all this.
The economy right now, being able to break through and just even make ends meet. Jeez.
Yeah.
people are just looking for
that. We're quite lucky in that, like, we've had the perspective. Like, you know, like, I'd love a Lamborghini, but I know that if I had a Lamborghini tomorrow, it wouldn't make me happier. I mean, it would be fun for a bit, but like, I wouldn't go, right, this has changed my life to the point where if I didn't have this Lamborghini, it would suck. Yeah.
Like, where's the castle? You can't put. You know, you can't live in it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I do think that we're lucky that I think we've had a bit of that perspective of tried some of these quite amazing things that, like, things that, you know, these experiences that sometimes, well, individually, I think we never would have done or never would have experienced. And that has kind of, I wish other people could. I know some people think like that and they're lucky to think like that. But for me personally, I am quite a things driven person, and to experience those things and go, okay, no, it's all right, I can still find.
But I think
happiness.
you have to have fuck you money to buy those type of things. You have to be able to afford that thing like three times over before you buy it, because, like you say, it's just once you have it, like, if you were buying it and you could only just afford it, you're not going to enjoy it, because you wouldn't want to park anywhere. You'd kind of baby it all the time. It's just like,
totally,
yeah, live your life, get a cheaper car, and enjoy the rest of things you can get in life. It's just it's not be all or end all, is it?
No, that's very wise.
Thanks.
And a very nice way to round up the Hat Chat podcast. So we'll move into our. This has been so structured. I've never seen us be this structured since our first iterations of Hat Chat. It's quite nice, actually. Anyway, hey, thanks. I want to say a huge thanks to our Patreon supporters for hanging on in there as we make these changes, and also allowing us to provide you an ad-free version and keep going, ultimately, despite the ads that are going to be coming in. So thank you. If you'd like to, check out patreon.com/hatfilms to get the ad-free version, and also choose the hypothetical questions for next week.
Yes.
That'd be great. And also, if you don't like ads that are being injected in the podcast, then our YouTube channel also has just the YouTube stuff, the stuff you're used to on YouTube. So there's that option. And if you are creative, then please send your fingles to hatchat@hat-films.com or hypothetical questions.
Indeed.
If you have any interesting ones.
Yeah, totally.
Why not send it there? And let us know some interesting things that we can talk about. That's ultimately it. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think about this new format. Please enjoy the full-length fingle by... Oh, I've lost it.
Oh, it's up here. It says Josh Morley Smith.
Josh Morley Smith, thanks.
And we'll
really love it.
We'll see you next week, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah.
Indeed.
How exciting.
Nice one.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.